of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
This is The 10th Voice, Kansas City's gay and lesbian radio magazine. The 10th Voice, because you refuse to be silent.
Hello, KKFI listeners, and welcome to Trans Talk, this week's edition of The 10th Voice. I'm Una Nowling, here with my co-host Luke Harness, and behind the board today is our sound engineer and producer, Linda Wilson. Today we have a show featuring two very different topics. In our first segment, the topic will be transgender musicians, and three local transgender musicians will be joining us in the KKFI studio to discuss their art and their lives. Melody from the External Combustion Orchestra, solo performer Mercury Mad, and Carrie Ann, who is working to form a band called The Transistors. In our second segment, we will have Blake and Allie in our studio to discuss the challenges of their transgender relationship. Together for 7 years this October and married as a same-sex couple in 2010, they became husband and wife in October 2014 after Blake got his gender marker legally changed. They'll be with us in the studio sharing their experiences of being in a relationship prior to and throughout Blake's transition. I'll finish up the show with the community calendar update, but first, Luke is going to give us a breakdown of some of the LGBT news this week.
In Florida, India Clark, a 25-year-old trans woman of color, was found dead this past Tuesday in Tampa Bay. She appeared to have suffered blunt force trauma to her upper body. Clark is the 11th trans woman of color to be murdered in America so far this year. That is almost roughly equivalent to nearly two murders a month. In Iowa, Megan Taylor, a 22-year-old trans woman of color, was visiting Des Moines with a friend who is also trans when staff at her hotel reported them to police, describing two males dressed as females and expressing concern about possible prostitution activity. When police found that Taylor had an outstanding probation violation from Illinois, she was brought to protective custody in a medical unit. Her top half was patted down by a female officer and her bottom half by a male officer. The Welcome Ministry, led by transgender Lutheran pastor Megan Roer, has been crowdfunding money to support Taylor, and she has now since been freed. Excuse me. The ESPN EPSIs for 2015 were held in L.A. on July 15th. Caitlyn Jenner received the Arthur Ashe Award, which created quite a buzz in the community and out about heroism. But most importantly, I want to note that we had some of our own Kansas City locals attending. Google aired an important local business ad highlighting our very own City Gym in Waldo. Transgender man Jacob Nothnagel was featured in this ad since City Gym has become an important step in his transition's journey. You can find that on YouTube. The Equality Act, a recent poll from the Center for American Progress, shows that 9 out of 10 voters erroneously believe that there is a federal law protecting LGBT people from workplace discrimination. The poll also found that 73% of voters do support such protections, including strong support from Catholics, senior citizens, and even people with unfavorable attitudes toward gay people. This week, the Equality Act was introduced in Congress. It is a comprehensive bill that would, if passed, add sexual orientation and gender identity to the protections that already exist based on race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. The legislation, introduced by a couple of representatives, would update the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that increases its protections for many Americans beyond the LGBT community as well. The Equality Act would ensure protections in employment, housing, public accommodation, education, credit, and jury service for LGBT people, as well as preventing businesses from charging women and men differently for the same service. It would also expand the definition of public accommodation to include retail stores, as well as transportation and healthcare services. And that's the news.
Thank you very much for the news update, Luke, and it's good to be back here in the studio with you. Did you have a good July so far?
So far, it's been a little hectic. Last month, I missed the show because I was finalizing and closing on a house, so I've moved in there, and I still need to unpack, and school's about to start next month, so it's actually gone by really quickly, like in a blur. How about yourself?
Well, I've still been recovering from my pneumonia somewhat. I've been thrown out of two doctor's offices for being transgender, and other than that, it's been pretty good, though.
I hope so.
Well, in our first segment today, we're going to be talking with three local musicians who identify as transgender. And I will say we have a very eclectic group in the studio here today. One of them rode her motorcycle in and is dressed as a biker girl. The other one is wearing a Supergirl costume. And Mercury has brought in his pet flamingo as a mascot.
Well, this is my friend's flamingo.
Okay.
I was taught to bring Flamingo with me, you know, wherever I could. So Flamingo says hi.
Well, hello, Flamingo. I want to start by asking some of you questions individually, and I'll just begin with Melody because she's right in front of me. How long have you been playing music? When did you first learn?
I've been playing since high school, basically, since about sophomore year.
And what sort of instruments do you play right now?
I play 9 or 10 different instruments. Ooh. So there's a whole list of them. Piano, organ, classical organ, theater organ, acoustic guitar, bass guitar, electric guitar, four-string banjo, keyboards. There's just a whole list.
And I've been to your house and seen some of the amazing collection of instruments that you have. Tell us a little bit about the band that you're in right now, the External Combustion Orchestra. Can you describe them?
The External Combustion Orchestra is a steampunk band. The word steampunk actually has two halves to it. Steam, meaning it pays homage to the Victorian era of the 1800s where everything was powered by steam. And the punk just means to do it yourself, to make it your own, be original, and be creative. So, and we blend a lot of original music. We write a lot of our own stuff. We really take pride in that. It gives us more creativity and more flexibility of what we can do.
Now, I've sat in while you've performed several times, and some of your songs are, I hate to use the word a second time, very eclectic, such as Giant Mechanical Crabs, for example.
Yeah. The giant mechanical crabs that take over the world.
Now, Mercury, our mutual friend Sandra Mead introduced us for this program. I've stalked your Facebook profile and found it to be one of the most compelling that I've seen. In addition to being listed as being an event coordinator, DJ, composer, guitar instructor, graphic designer, and makeup artist, you've also listed as fronting the glam rock bands Vibralux and Mercury Mad and the Plastic Bitches.
You can't say that on the air.
I asked Linda, and she said I could say that.
So, okay.
And Linda's word.
Thank
as
you,
well.
Linda.
What are you working on currently in the musical front?
Right now, I was actually for a time involved with a traveling group called the Revolution Circus, which was a group of different musicians who all fronted groups that gathered together and then rehearsed each other's songs. So in 45 minutes, you'd hear maybe 3 or 4 different bands represented or different styles represented. And then we kind of would gather different sideshow performers on the road as we were traveling and add them to our mix. That was the last thing that I was involved in. And the next project I'm still building, I'm still finding more musicians to be involved with. Hopefully we'll be performing by October, since that seems to be when people start getting in touch with me for gigs for some reason. And we don't have a name for it yet.
How would you describe the style of music that you play, or what is your favorite style of music?
I think that music is a universal language. If you actually stalk me, you know, or go online and look up my name, then you'll find that I am performing several different styles, and actually certain songs will be performed in a different style as well. So you may hear the same song performed a couple of different ways, especially live. My hope is to find a band that's versatile enough to be able to change the conceptual style of the music, you know, the week before the show so that all of the songs actually sound like different songs. So
okay. Now, Carrie Ann, you are in the process of forming a band that you hope to call the Transistors, but I understand that you've run into some challenges doing that. Can you talk a little bit about the challenges?
Yeah, the Transistors are meant to be a cover band, mostly dealing with punk, stuff like Go-Go's, David Bowie, The Runaways. And we've got three members committed so far, but due to job problems, my job has been incredibly demanding the last couple years. A couple of us have gone through divorces in the last year. One of us is getting ready for surgery. So we've had a lot of delays. We've gotten stuff put together, but just haven't gotten everything on the ground yet.
Are you currently recruiting other band members right now, or just trying to draw the three that you have together?
When I come across people that I know that play instruments and stuff, I do try to recruit and encourage. Got a couple people I'm hoping that will come around. We'll just have to see.
What instruments do you yourself play?
I play a few. I play acoustic and electric guitar, bass, trumpet. Those are my main ones. I also do vocals.
So I want to return back to Melody to start asking a little bit on the transgender front, since after all, this is Trans Talk. Now, being a fellow transgender person, I know it takes a leap of faith to appear in public in front of an audience in any context at all. But you're not only in public, you're performing in public, which has sort of a double level of anxiety. Has this been difficult for you?
I think not really difficult, because I had transitioned most of the way before I even started playing in public anyway. So it wasn't extremely too difficult for me. The biggest thing is because I do a lot of the production stuff for our shows. So that was the most frustrating part for me, was making sure that I had everything right so we look and sound as good as we should. So as far as being playing in public, it didn't really bug me too well, but it bugged me too much at all, because it was fairly simple for me. Playing in public has always been kind of a I'm going to get scared, or I'm going to hit wrong notes, but it wasn't, it had nothing to do with my transition. So
how did your fellow band members react to you being transgender?
They love me and they welcome me for who I am, and they love me for who I am.
I know several of your band members personally, and I knew that that would be the case, but I thought I should ask on behalf of our audience. Mm-hmm. Has playing music with the band and working in that group helped you? Has it helped you in any way with your transition?
It's increased my level of confidence, yes. Confidence was a big thing for me for a long time. I didn't have the confidence. I was always scared, you know, what are people going to think? But once you move past that point of, like, these are people, this is me, I live my own life, I do this, I don't have to live under somebody else's rules, so your confidence gets more and more. It gets higher and higher.
Right, and such as the confidence to wear a crop top Supergirl costume into the studio
today.
With a cape.
With a cape, yes. Complete with a cape, uh-huh. And some very realistic boots. Those can be the hardest things to find. We're going to take a brief break for a station announcement right now, and when we return, we'll be talking a bit more with Mercury and Carrie about their music and their transgender lives.
Supporting 90.1 FM, there was a guy doing Woody Guthrie. He packed the house. The guy doing Sam Cooke stole the show. And the comedians in the submarine, well, you had to see it. And that was last year's Fringe Fest. This year's Kansas City Fringe Fest begins live performances on Thursday, July 16th and runs to Sunday, July 26th. There's even an art show in Union Station beginning July 12th. KCFringe.org has all the details. KCFringe.org.
So, Mike, the guys at the bowling alley want to know what's going on with the Arts Magazine this week.
Well, Lord Reverend Mayor, first we're going to talk with the Barn Players of Mission, Kansas. We're going to talk about their new play, Equus. very, very heavy. But then we'll lighten things up when we talk to the River City Players of Leavenworth about their new musical Bye Bye Birdie. What's the matter with kids today?
Well, that's as good as getting a 7-10 split.
That's Monday at noon, Arts Magazine Show.
Hello, welcome back to Trans Talk, where we have been speaking with three local transgender musicians and hearing a bit about their lives and the music that they play. I want to move back to Mercury here and ask him, sorry about the pronouns, how do you identify?
I really focused on having everyone call me her. And I think that for about 10 years, that was my accepted preference. The issue that I ran into with that was that I lived in a bubble, and I actually wasn't aware of how accepting non-queer-oriented people were of where I was at. And just, for the record, I don't know necessarily. I think I fit into like the queer spectrum as a transvestite, not so much transsexual, but I fight like my mom, my mother, so to speak, that I claim as my art mom, as my trans mom, is Venus de Mars of All the Pretty Horses from Minneapolis, who opened my mind quite a bit in reference to the gender pronoun issue and also to helping bring people in to be more understanding of the community.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I know I used the wrong pronoun earlier, but it was influenced by, I think that you've used both of them on your Facebook page, so it was a little,
and Venus also would say that she is both.
How has your transgender identity influenced your music in any way?
Oh, my. I think I spent a lot of my early life being angry, and I grew up in a small town and pretty much was, you know, thrown into lockers and verbally abused for being too feminine. And, you know, most of my friends who were queer that went to school with me were in hiding and all getting to date people. And nobody would date me, and so on and so forth. And then also, also people don't seem to understand, I guess, in the realm of relationships, that you may not necessarily be gay. And I think on the straight side of the fence, that there, it's really hard for them to grasp that if you're feminine, you know, or queer, that you're not, I mean, it's actually, I get more guff from the straight side of the fence for not being gay in some way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was told that I was gay my whole life, which is funny. I have a backwards story, you know, from this.
Yes.
And I said, and I was like, I don't, you know, I'm like, well, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. And then, of course, you get into college and, you know, you go through a divorce and you go through all these things because of your femininity. And you say, well, I'm going to give it a try, you know, and then it doesn't work for you. And I think that there are a lot of people in this world that can understand that place. But I think that part of me was always put in the queer spectrum of thought by the straight portion of society. And actually, when I just decided to move into that rainbow, I no longer had to deal with any of those problems. I could just be queer and be myself, and nobody bothered me for being myself. And I think that that is something that I love about the trans community as well. Everybody's working for each other. Everybody's fighting for each other. It's a very caring community. And I.
Kansas City is a good location, you would say, for artists who transcend everyday music and stage presence?
I would say it's become immensely better in the last 15 to 20 years from where it was, very much so. There's, when I started out playing here, I quickly found a group of kids, you know, they were all 17, 18 years old, that were following my group.
Yes.
And most of my kids now are very passionate about making things change, like And so it makes me excited to be here because I see that this community growing bigger and bigger and bigger and people actually moving here instead of like Denver or someplace.
Exactly.
Like
that, you know? Now, I first heard your music at last year's Transgender Day of Remembrance. Do you recall what song it was you played?
It's called Everything Wanted.
I remember it was very soulful and seemed to fit the occasion perfectly.
It's kind of interesting when you write a song. I wrote that song for Fringe Festival happening, you know, in July. There you go. There's your plug for Fringe Fest. But I wrote that song as part of a show for Fringe Festival, and it was one song that was supposed to be based on chakra meditation. And I think what happens is when you start to develop a work of art, you don't realize all of the other issues that it addresses. Mm-hmm. You know, and so in the song, an older dancer who's like, an older woman who's lost her love for being an artist or a dancer watches a younger woman dance and wishes that she could be her. And that actually, I think, applies in many respects to a lot of us.
Yes, it does.
And that what we wanted or what we want is actually within ourselves, it's us that we are craving. It's a part of us that once existed, or it's a part of us that does exist that we're trying to make happen.
That is a very powerful message indeed. Now, Carrie Ann, I hope I'm not overstepping myself by saying that you're probably a little earlier in the process of being yourself in public than our other two guests. Have you performed in public prior to transition?
Yeah, I grew up playing instruments and in various bands and stuff. Started in elementary school playing trumpet and guitar. Done many, many years with church praise bands and stuff like that, both vocalists and guitars and bass.
Was it intimidating to think of performing as yourself, as the real Carrie in public after transition? How did that add to the stress of performance?
Not at all.
Really?
I started becoming, my path to becoming Carrie was a long path. Started and when I was about 12 or so, and I would dress periodically every couple of years when I was an adult or so. And all of a sudden, one day when 5 years ago, I was dressing and looked in the mirror and said, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of came out of the blue because I never really thought of myself as trans before then. But I could do this. And I went out that week and got everything and started going out in public. A couple weeks, probably about 3 weeks later, I was singing karaoke. And mm-hmm. It was just like a flower blossoming. It gave me the opportunity to really be me and perform.
Does playing your music help you with your transition process?
I think primarily it helps with the voice, because singing allows you to work your voice up into a higher range. As a male, I've got a bass baritone voice, but I've got a pretty wide range. So focusing it at a higher level as I'm performing female songs and stuff has helped a lot.
And voice training is something that many of us, especially the trans ladies, really struggle with. And mm-hmm. I took singing lessons for a short time myself to try to help my voice. And I can certainly understand that. We're going to take a break now for a musical interlude. And we're actually going to be featuring a song from Melody's band, the External Combustion Orchestra.
And welcome back to Trans Talk. That was Bridget's Lament by the External Combustion Orchestra. So we have now in the studio, we have Blake and Allie here to talk about their relationship throughout Blake's transition. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thanks. For having us.
Of course. Well, of course, the first question has to be, you know, it's about a relationship. How did you two meet?
We've known each other since...
6th or 7th grade.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. It's a long time. And then we didn't start dating until we graduated from high school a year after we graduated. So in 2008.
Yes.
Thank you, social media, for kind of bringing us back together. And then it was just, it was really all downhill from there.
Downhill or uphill?
I mean, you know.
Well, they both sound kind of bad. Downhill or uphill, if it's a challenge or not. I think all of our audience is going to be a little bit disappointed that that wasn't a meet cute, but I guess it's right. The meet cute of the 21st century. Thank you, social media.
Right.
Okay, then. Well, anyway, so since you two have known each other a long time, I can't imagine mm-hmm. people that I met in sixth grade that I'd want to marry, but as it goes. So you said it was about a year after you started dating. That was like in 2008, and you mm-hmm. became married as a same-sex couple in 2010?
Yes.
Okay, so did... Now, going back, knowing each other in middle school, high school, had either of you... Were you either open about sexuality at that time, or...?
I was. I dated a girl all through high school. We were together mm-hmm. from middle of my freshman year all the way through graduation.
Oh, wow. And yeah. then Blake swooped in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really find myself in that regard until just after high school. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so... When was it, Blake, that you knew, I guess we're always asked, you know, what's that point of realization that transition was possible to you? When did that apply to you?
That actually happened after one of my close friends started transitioning. I kind of looked into more of the topic. Right when he started transitioning, I started looking into it more, and I didn't tell Allie. I kind of researched it on my own for about a year mm-hmm. until I was like, okay, I've got to take it to her. This too much is clicking for me. So I kind of brought it to her attention after that.
Yeah, I think I did the same thing in doing research, freaking out internally and not telling people outside. Oh, is everything okay? Yeah, I'm great. Right. Everything's awesome.
Exactly.
Totally well, and that fine. Was, I mean, I think that was a really rough part of our relationship. Like, that was the roughest of the 4 years, 5 years that we had been together at that point. Because I knew that there was something... There was a disconnect somewhere. There's something he wasn't talking to me about, and it was really rough. That period was hard for us.
Did you have any idea that that's what it was going to be when he finally brought it to you?
I mean, you kind of have that like instinct that there's something. So I did, but I mean, I wasn't because we had talked about transition before. As this friend was transitioning, I was like, "Do you think that's ever something that you would consider? Or do you think that that's you?" And he's like, "No, I don't think so. I don't think I could ever."
And then six months later, I dropped the bomb on her.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a nice time then because you probably had that look in your face like I told you so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she did.
I was right about it. Mm-hmm. Thanks for waiting an extra 6 months.
Right. when you could have just told me and we could have started this whole process sooner, but that's okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Blake. Okay. just kidding. So how did you... So getting those conversations and thinking about it, even with, you know, the close friend starting transition, mm-hmm. did you think about that yourself, Allie, with... How you would feel if Blake did come to you and say that he wanted a transition, you know, prior to this Blake's transition?
I was trying not to because I was trying to remain just, like, really open to the idea. I wasn't trying to, like, make myself feel one way or the other about it until he was ready to tell me himself. So I think that I did a pretty good job about not really just remaining level-headed about it.
Yes, yeah.
How did that conversation go for you, Blake?
It was really tough for me. I kind of came to her and was like, you know, I've got something important to tell you. And she kind of knew what it was. But at the time, you know, from my side, I'm like, she has no idea. She's going to freak out. And it actually went really well. She was really understanding about it. And she kind of just was like, okay, whatever we need to do to make you happy.
So. Oh, but let me tell you how this conversation went.
Oh, here we go. Both sides
so,
of the story.
he was like a child coming to their parents to tell them they did something wrong.
Looking at his
like,
feet.
Yes. That's exactly how it was. I mean, just the whole time, like, he had his head held really low, and he was just, like, snuggling up to me and, like, I don't want to tell you. It's not a big deal. Like, I don't want to tell you. I don't want to talk to you about it. And so, like, after an hour, I'm finally like, just tell me. Just tell me. And so he did. And then I was like, okay. Like, I mean, I just didn't have really anything to say at that point. Like,
right.
I mean, I wasn't just like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, it took some thinking and, like, really soul-searching for myself. But
you did tell me that you'd be there no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely. That was really important to hear that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really what... I mean, I remember coming out to some different people coming out, telling people that I wanted to transition, and that's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Right.
Because I, as well, head down, cuddling up. Right. Blake, mm-hmm. For everyone to know, Blake looked a little bashful already while I was reliving that for him. So those feelings are still there.
Well, and it wasn't, I mean, when I told him originally, when I said, I will be there for you no matter what, I didn't know, though, if that was going to be as his partner forever or if that was just going to be as a friend, because I didn't know if I wanted to put myself down that road. And I mean, that's selfish, but that's how I felt. And it took really probably a good 3 months before I was like, you know what? This is stupid. I'm being stupid. I love you, and I can't imagine my life without you. And just because you're changing who you physically are on the outside doesn't change anything for me. So, I mean, once I like reached that, it was smooth sailing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question because I've had a similar situation with my own relationship. How did your families react both to your relationship and to Blake's news of pending transition?
You can talk about your family and then I'll talk about mine.
Okay. I'll address my family. Prior to transition, they were open enough to still support me and still love me and still be there for me. But the topic was never head-on discussed, per se, prior to transition. And then once I transitioned, I think they actually took it a little bit harder than my first coming out, if you say. Just they were like, okay, well, we've already kind of handled one big hurdle. Like, this is another, you know, we've kind of learned through that process. You're still the same person. So my mom, it's hard for me sometimes because my mom and I always have a certain saying that we say to each other before we, sign off for that meeting or that phone call or whatever. And instead of using my name in it as she did prior to transition, she just uses like honey or sweetheart now. So it's difficult for me because she says my name, but it's very rarely that she actually says my preferred name now. So that's one thing that's still kind of hard. But other than that, very supportive of us and my choices and things like that.
Mm-hmm. My mom, when I first came out as a lesbian, she told me, I don't want anybody over at my house. I don't want to meet anybody. I don't want anything to do with it. And then it was like maybe a month later after Blake and I had started dating. I mean, yeah, that. So he was on my front porch with me when my mom got home. And I said, Mom, this is Blake. Blake, this is my mom. And ever since then, she's absolutely adored him. And then when I told my mom that Blake was transitioning, she cried. And she was, I think it was a little bit of joy, but also a little bit of like sadness. But then she told me, she goes, well, at least I get to watch you walk down the aisle and marry a man. And I'm really excited about that. And which my mom was never not supportive of the marriage that we had, but I know that that was something as a mother that she was, that was really hard for her because she didn't get to live that dream of having her daughter walk down the aisle and have, and so I know that the wedding that we just had in October was huge for a lot of people. The people that couldn't be there in 2010, and for me, for sure, because I always wanted that. That was huge for me. But yeah, my mom was absolutely fantastic, and my dad gets along a lot better with Blake now than he ever did before. And my brother and sister were, right. They didn't care.
I think part of it, too, was my family was, when I told them I was transitioning, I waited until after I'd started my process of taking hormones to tell them because I didn't want them to, not that they would have had the opportunity to talk me out of anything, per se, but I didn't want them to feel like they did have that opportunity. So mm-hmm. I purposely waited. And it was hard. They did. They were just kind of sad more than anything, I think, because they felt like they were losing somebody, but they also realized they're gaining more of me as I am. So.
Right. And sometimes parents are just worried about how you might face some challenges that they really can't be there to protect you mm-hmm. against, protect you from. And sometimes that's the situation, too.
Yeah. And so it sounds like you hit the jackpot family-wise with being supportive and everything, and really being able to show that as well with your wedding in October, which looked awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
I know not all of the audience has the privilege of being Facebook friends with Blake and Allie, but pictures are awesome. So how about friends then, coworkers, anything like that? Did anybody come up to either of you specifically and just voice their opinion because, you know, they suddenly wanted to put their nose in your business?
I will say that I work in the healthcare field. I'm a physical therapist, and I was actually a student at where I am employed prior to transition. So when I and when I started working there, I was still pre-transition, and it's in a small town north of Kansas City. So I was really worried about the effects of that and how my job might be affected, or I might not have a job. But I knew my immediate coworkers were very supportive. I was just worried about the larger picture of the hospital being in a small community. But actually, everybody's been really great. My HR director even went to the links to set up what we call an in-service, like an education discussion, per se, to talk about transgender and what it meant and what my transitioning would mean in terms of our department in the hospital. She put that together and set up this meeting with my coworkers and anybody else that was pertinent to my job at the hospital. And it's been great. Nobody's had any issues with it. The hospital's been great, very supportive. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Usually people have to go to HR, go to their bosses exactly. to request that to even happen. And that can even cause so much trouble just there with people being resistant. Exactly. So that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really have anything like that. I mean, it was hard for me a little because obviously I didn't want to out him, like, to people that I work with who might not know, but at the same time, these people knew that prior to I'd been with a female. And so, like, I didn't want to just go about saying, oh, well, my husband or my boyfriend or my this or using his name and then questioning it. So a lot of the people that I worked closely with, I told them even before, this is what's going on. So if this is so that they wouldn't make a big to do mm-hmm. about it, so that other people who didn't know weren't coming to me and trying to be mean. So, so no, I haven't really had that issue. I'm very fortunate for that, mm-hmm. for sure.
And our friends have been supportive, too. I can't really think of anybody that we've lost, per se, with my transition. Mm-hmm. Everybody that was there before is still there now, so we've been pretty lucky with that.
Yep. Awesome. Well, Allie, trying to think of how to word this. Don't give me that face. There's a lot of... I, myself, never identified as a lesbian prior to transition, because mm-hmm. I knew I was attracted to women, but I just knew that word didn't fit me. Mm-hmm. So I just never went down that road, and I know a lot of trans guys do go down that road. And then they get a lot of backlash from the lesbian community that just refuse to accept that as happening at all.
Which is really disheartening.
It is. So did you get anything yourself just for continuing to date someone who may be seen as a traitor to the lesbian community, and that was in air quotes.
I mean, I get a lot of, well, how do you identify now? Well, what are you? And my response to everybody is, why do I have to have a label? Why do you need to know what my status is? I don't understand, like, why our society focuses so much on that. It just doesn't make any sense to me. You knew me before. You knew that I dated women. Currently, I'm married to a man, and that's all you need to know. If ever anything happens between Blake and myself, then whoever I'm dating at that point is all you need to know. Like, I just... And it took me a long time to get to this point because I had many, many nights that I felt lost because I didn't know who I was or who I should feel like I am, or because I went so long being proud of being a lesbian and, you know, I just didn't know what to say or do, and now I just don't care. Don't put labels on me. That's all. I'm a married woman. That's all you need to know.
Happily, hopefully.
Yes.
So essentially, if anyone came up to you, you would just say, it's none of your business, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a little Z-snap, everything.
Yeah, everything. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure. Awesome.
Well, we're going to take a break really quick because we've got a message to play, and then we will be back in the studio with Blake and Allie.
90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio, wants to give thanks to our sustaining givers. By being a sustaining donor, you get the satisfaction and convenience of making a monthly contribution to your community radio station. This saves cost, which puts more of your contribution into the news and music programs that you love. To become a sustaining giver, please contact Warren at 816-994-7871. And thanks again from the staff and volunteers at KKFI 90.1 FM.
Hi, this is Richard Tripp with COP Incorporated, letting you know of a really easy way to help our brothers and sisters survive during this heat wave. It's called Luggage Jug. First, fill up a clean jug or plastic bottle with water, then freeze it overnight, and finally, take it with you as you go about your normal business. When you see a homeless person, let them have the jug. It's a simple way to help folks get through this extreme heat. This message is a public service announcement of 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
We are back in the studio with Blake and Allie here talking about the relationship through Blake's transition. So you just got married in October and had an awesome wedding. So was that, did that feel like a renewal in your relationship as a milestone, or has anything changed, or what's going on there?
We are actually fortunate enough. We knew we wanted to get married in October. We knew we wanted to get married on a weekend, and we weren't changing the month. But when we went, and we knew what venue we wanted, but when we went to ask them about a year and a half before we actually set our date and had our wedding day, they had no weekends available in October. And so they asked if we wanted September. I said, no, I'm not. I want October. That's our original anniversary month, so we're going with it. So we're actually fortunate to get married this past October on our fifth anniversary of being married as a same-sex couple. So I think it was kind of a renewal in that sense that we never got that big wedding the first time. It was pretty much us and two witnesses drove up to Iowa and had a small ceremony, and that was kind of it. So this time I think it allowed us to have our family near and our friends all celebrate in that with us.
I mean, I thought that I felt, I don't know why I felt this way. I can't answer the question as to why, but I feel like it was more real almost, because when we went to Iowa, it was, yes, it was real, and we got the piece of paper and it was perfect at that time, but just knowing that with this marriage came all of the rights that everybody else has, and that everybody was there now saw us as quote unquote normal, which I don't like that word, but that's how we're seen now. I don't know. It just has, since that day, felt more real to me. And maybe that sounds really awful saying that, but it does. And I would not have changed a single thing that we did that day, because it was absolutely perfect.
And maybe in the sense that it felt more real, that I was finally who I was right. supposed to be. So I was able to give you my more authentic self right. in that ceremony than I was in Iowa.
Right.
And at that time, you know, gay marriage wasn't legal. So that was another part of it. You know, we knew it was real, but mm-hmm. kind of traveled outside of the state lines of Iowa and wasn't recognized anymore. So.
Right.
I have a follow-up question, Allie. Why? I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, why? I don't know the answer to that. Sorry about it.
So since Blake's transition, and I let him know that I was going to say this on the air, he has a really awesome beard, so I'm just going to get that over with. I'm jealous.
Thank you.
Et cetera, et cetera. I'm working on it. Because a lot of people ask me when I go on panels or anything, you know, how have I dealt with suddenly getting male privilege and put on me? And I don't really notice until I have one of my really close friends, she'll go out with me, the waiter will ignore her and just look at me, give me the check, et cetera, et cetera. I don't even realize until she says something like, hey, that person wasn't even looking at me. And I'm just like, wow, that really sucks. So what have you dealt with as a couple now being perceived, you know, man and wife?
That's actually an interesting question. We were just talking about this last week. We had the adulthood privilege, if you will, to buy new tires for Allie's car
Those
last
are cheap.
Week. Oh, yes. Extremely cheap. What are you talking about? And as fun as that sounds, we kind of experienced that male privilege. We had actually walked into, I like to shop around when it comes to things, and so we were getting different opinions from, or different quotes, I should say, from different places, and we walked into one, and I kind of hung back throughout this time because it's Allie's car. I wanted her to kind of take that responsibility and have the opportunity to ask questions she wanted to for her vehicle and her thoughts on the tires. Tires, it sounds funny. It's just tires, but it's tires.
What's your opinion on tires?
And I kind of hung back on purpose so that she could kind of take the lead, so to kind of negate some of that, hopefully, male privilege, but still be there in case anything was needed. And the gentleman we were working with at the store blatantly ignored her. I was kind of in another area of the section we were in just looking at things, and he purposely turned around to talk to me and ignored her standing 3 feet away from him.
So, like, his back was to me at this point.
At that point, I said, thanks, we're good, and we walked out. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to deal with a place of business who supported things like that. So.
I've had sort of the reverse situation with my transition. I've never had any problem going to a mechanics or shopping for tires until after I transitioned to female. And then I discovered all of a sudden that, when I last bought tires, I had a specific tire in mind that my car required. And the gentleman there started mansplaining to me why I shouldn't go with these tires, honey. I should do this instead. And I looked at him and I just said, oh, you poor thing. You actually think you're helping me. This is so sad. I said, not only am I a professor of mechanical engineering, but I put myself through engineering school as an auto mechanic.
And then I bet he kind of was bashful and walked off all of a sudden, didn't he?
He changed his tune, but still I caught him explaining a few things to me, like what the engine was and, you know.
And then there's someone like me that would walk in and I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just sad that I have to pay for tires.
Exactly.
Right.
And I don't know anything about it.
Just for sure.
Make sure that there's four of them. That's really all I want to look for. Thank you. So I'm going to I want a last word from you and Allie and Blake. Any kind of advice you would give to someone in a relationship that's about to go through transition, don't make those faces. You knew this was coming. Any last words of advice or any cutesy thing you want to say to each other that's appropriate on the radio, go for it.
I do have one thing to say. Very seriously, if you don't feel like this is something that you are going to be okay with for the rest of your life, then don't drag that other person through it, because I did a lot of soul searching to get to the point where I am and to be comfortable and be okay and love him for who he is. And don't just stay in the relationship because it's the cool thing to do, because it's comfortable, because it's the right thing to do, because it's don't make sure that you're there for the right reasons, because you could mess everything, every person's life up.
And in that regard, my piece of advice is to be honest. Plain and simple, be honest with yourself. Be honest with who you are. Be honest with those close to you. If they're close to you and they support you, they're going to be there whether you tell them you're transitioning or you tell them you're going to buy new tires next week. Mm-hmm. They're going to be there no matter what. So even if your partner, like Allie said, is not comfortable with it, at least owe it to them and to yourself. No matter if you've been together a year, a month, 3 months, 7 years, you owe it to them to be honest with yourself and with them and your relationship and where it might or might not be going.
And it takes a lot of work. It's not, you know, it's not easy every day. It's being sure that you're there to give him his shot every week, to be, you know, be comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And just, it's not easy. Everything takes work, so.
I think those are awesome points from both of you. And I'm gonna go ahead and splice together, because we're going to have Mercury come back on and play a live song for us. But so he needs to come over and mess with the mics and everything. So I wanted to ask real quick the most serious question of the day, and I'm sure Linda can agree since she's been doing some other shows. I want to know what everyone's theme song would be, and I want to know as soon as possible. Thank you.
You want us to?
Mm.
Yeah. Everybody, come over here.
Oh, I don't know.
Don't be on the spot. I just asked you some serious questions about the relationship. Come on, Carrie.
My theme song absolutely is I've Never Been to Me. It's an 80s one-hit wonder by Charlene.
Nice, nice. Anybody else?
Mm-mm.
Una?
I don't have one right now.
We're going to go ahead and get...
Oh, now we're going to change subjects. okay.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get Mercury set up here. And what song are you planning to play for us, Mercury?
Oh, I'm going to play hopefully Everything Wanted.
Everything Wanted. Okay.
Come on over.
What's your theme song?
Oh, my theme song. Thank you.
thank you for asking.
I've been watching the show Chuck over again, and that song for that show is "Short Skirt, Long Jacket" by Cake. So I've just been really into that again lately because it's, you know, get a little groovy, get a little dancey.
Okay.
And Flamingo can talk too.
You got it?
Yeah. You might get the chorus, you know, in there. Some in a phrase or two. Light shines through her windows as her young body sways. Why isn't it me? Why isn't it me? And how far have I stumbled? Know this life in her arms, life in her legs, with no heart for jealousy, no tears left for pain. Her movements reflect a heart I had lost. Buried regrets, I was blinded by flight as I was blinded by fear. And these gifts I had wasted by counting my costs. Well, everything I've ever wanted was here. Everything I've ever wanted was here. Well, have we wandered so far to forget who we were? Buried ourselves in the gifts of a world that will not make us whole when we bend to its will. But this life is wide open, and it's all ours to share. While everything we've ever wanted was here. Everything we've ever wanted was here. Everything we've ever wanted. So I'll open my windows and I'll take my risks from the sills and sheer will. Gather hope, inspiration. My soul moves unbound and my feet take their ground, and I am getting there, I'm getting there. Well, I'll open my windows and I'll take my risks from the sills and sheer will. Gather hope, inspiration. Our souls move unbound and our feet dance this ground, and we are getting there, getting there. Well, everything I've ever wanted was here. Everything I've ever wanted was here. Everything I've ever wanted.
Thank you very much, Mercury. That was beautiful.
And thank you for tuning in to Trans Talk, this week's edition of The Tenth Voice. Many thanks to our special guests, Melody, Mercury, Carrie, Blake, and Allie. I'd also like to thank my co-host, Una Nalling, as well as our sound engineer and producer, Linda Wilson. You can always send an email with your thoughts and suggestions to thetenthvoice@gmail.com. Next up, stay tuned for This Way Out, followed by Wings, and then Every Woman with Sharon Lockhart and Amy Bell. And be sure to join the 10th Voice next weekend as well, where host Philip Hoosier will be leading the show. You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.